You are listening to World Radio, KHOE 90.5 FM, and this is the program What's New on Campus. This program is a continuation of the new series on KHOE titled Trends of Time, How We Are Shaping Our Own Future. Hosted by Alex Green and Stan Stansbury, today we feature Dr. Carolyn King. Dr. King is an educator and researcher. She received her PhD and master's degrees from the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and completed a postdoctoral fellowship in health psychology at the Department of Psychiatry, University of Michigan. For 15 years, Dr. Gaylord King was professor of psychology at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. During her tenure at UAPB, she served as principal investigator of three grants from the National Institutes of Health Minority Biomedical Research Support Program to conduct research on transcendental meditation and the effects of stress reduction on biomedical and psychosocial factors. Currently, Dr. Gaylord King is a senior research scientist at the Institute for Natural Medicine and Prevention and professor in the Department of Health and Psychology at Maharshi University of Management here in Fairfield, Iowa. She has been actively involved in several studies supported by the National Institutes of Health that are designed to evaluate prevention-oriented natural medicine for the reduction of morbidity and mortality in ethnic minorities due to cardiovascular disease. She has published research in the biomedical literature on the effects of stress reduction for improving health and well-being and reducing health disparities between whites and ethnic minority populations. Well, Alex, with such a renowned guest in our studio, what is the topic today?
Thanks, Dan. So today we're going to be discussing how the Maharshi effect was implemented in a really unique and exceptional circumstance in Mozambique by people that I think we have to regard as exceptional. From my perspective, the transformation in Mozambique is in the same caliber as the fall of the Berlin Wall. And it represents the power of the Maharshi effect in action. And Dr. Carolyn and her husband, Dr. Curly King, and Roger Luis Alvarez, they were the people that Maharshi assigned the task of introducing this knowledge to President Joaquim Alberto Chissano and making it happen. And so Carolyn has firsthand experience of everything that took place, and the story that she has to tell is really marvelous, so that's what I wanted us to do today. Before we begin the interview with Carolyn, I'd like to just give a little bit of background about Mozambique so that we can better understand the extreme conditions that the country faced at the time that the Maharshi effect was implemented. Mozambique had been a colony of Portugal for over 270 years before it gained independence in 1975. And it had been the center of slave trade until that was no longer possible, and then Mozambicans were shipped off in huge numbers to the mines in South Africa and the huge farms in Rhodesia to work as indentured servants. The Portuguese kept the Mozambicans intentionally illiterate. So in a population in the 1970s of close to 15 million, only 25,000 native Mozambicans had received any form of secondary education. So the country was basically illiterate. And in that context, when Mozambique gained its independence, the challenges facing the new government were overwhelming, almost insurmountable. By 1992, Mozambique was the third poorest country in the world. Life expectancy at something in the range of 40 years, virtually an entirely illiterate nation, and the challenges of dealing with those kinds of factors, economically, sociologically, and all the rest, were enormous. Mozambique has 10 different major languages in a nation now of 22 million people. So in June of 1975, Mozambique gained its independence after a civil war of almost 15 years. And that civil war had been led by President Chissano and people that were very close to him in his student years. And then suddenly, when they gained independence, they faced a counter-revolutionary attack funded in large part by the apartheid government of South Africa and the government in Rhodesia, as well as other sources of funding. So that civil war following independence lasted and was continuing into 1992 and had extreme consequences in disrupting every little bit of infrastructure and economic viability that the nation had. The nation went into an extreme drought in the mid-1970s as well. So here we have this condition of just the most difficult to manage kind of political and sociological and economic circumstances that you could imagine. But also in 1975, in January of 1975, Marshi inaugurated the dawn of the Age of Enlightenment, because he found at that time, through research that had been done here at Maharshi International University at that time, that cities with 1% of the population showed a decrease in crime and accidents and other kinds of negative conditions within society that showed that there was an effect of group consciousness, coherent group consciousness, on society as a whole. And then Marshi began to train people in the TM City program starting in 1976 and put together large numbers of people doing the TM and TM City practice, and in 1978 began to demonstrate the power of group coherence in the World Peace Project, sending groups of people to hotspots throughout the world to show that their troubles could be solved very easily with small numbers of people practicing the TM and TM City program. So people were sent to Iran, Nicaragua, Tanzania, Southeast Asia, and in every instance, and there was an improvement in the conditions of those nations that were deeply troubled with civil war. And then Marshi began to increase the scale of his demonstration of the power of group coherence, with a Taste of Utopia course here at Maharshi University of Management in 1983, and with other large international courses throughout the 1980s, culminating with a group of 7,000 Vedic pundits practicing TM and the TM City program in the late 1980s in India. And what we saw during the 1980s was the most remarkable changes in history. The division between the Soviet bloc and the Western nations dissolved spontaneously, without any confrontation, without any conflict. When President Reagan came back from his famous walk in the garden in Moscow in 1987, he told Vice President George Bush Sr., the Cold War is over. And no one would believe him, but in fact, very shortly after that, we saw the fall of the Berlin Wall, and then the collapse of the Soviet Union and the return of autonomy to the nations that had been under Soviet control. So this is going on from the point of view of the demonstration of the power of the Maharshi effect and the conditions in Mozambique developing to the point of, as I've described already. So Marshi sent emissaries from the World Government of the Age of Enlightenment to President Chissano to introduce him to the power of the Maharshi effect and what it could do for his nation. And President Chissano heard Marshi's message and implemented it. And we have the great good fortune of being able to hear directly what took place during that time from Dr. King. She, with her late husband, Dr. Curly King, and Roger Luis Alvarez were the ones who implemented Marshy's program for him. Dr. Curly King was an exceptional man in many ways. He was the person who really held together the Caribbean economic community. He was the Secretary General for the Caribbean Economic Community from 1979 to 1983. For 1 year prior to his taking that office, no one would take that position because of the tremendous conflict between the leaders of the different nations of the Caribbean. Dr. Curly King stepped into that position, and within his 4 years of service there, wove together a unified economic fabric for the Caribbean community that still stands today. And so he is acknowledged as being the person who really kept the idea of an economic community alive and made it functional within the Caribbean. And so he and his wife and are great, great exponents of Marshy's knowledge, and we're really fortunate to have Carolyn with us this afternoon to hear the story of how this took place.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Alex. Carolyn, maybe we can start with you. Maybe you can give us a little background on you and Curly.
Okay, so Curly and I started to work. Curly was actually working governor of the Central Bank of Barbados, and we went to see Marishi. He wanted me to meet Marishi. I had never really met Marishi except briefly when I was made a teacher. So we went to see Marishi one summer, and we thought we were going there for 2 or 3 days. We were on our way to MUM. Curly was scheduled to teach a course here, but Marishi had other plans for him. And Marishi actually sent us, along with Roger Luis, to Mozambique to meet with President Chissano and to give him a message that the techniques of the Marishi's techniques could bring peace to his country, could bring rain to his country, could bring a permanent peace and prosperity to the country. So we took that trip to Mozambique, Roger Luis, Curly, and I, and we met with President Chissano, gave him Marishi's messages. He actually had several messages for him. And then we came back to Blowdrop, and thinking that we would come back to Blowdrop, and then Curly wanted to come here and teach, of course, but Marishi had other plans for him. So we stayed there with Marishi, and actually, at that time, Curly really wanted to do something in Africa, and he was very happy that Marishi was giving him something to do, a project to do in Africa, and he wanted to resign his job. And under that influence, and after seeing what happened in Mozambique, and after seeing the country of Mozambique, I went there and I thought, we really could help these people. And I agreed. I was like, yes, we can quit. I agreed to his plan to resign from his job and work full-time for Marishi. I could not stand in the way of that because I saw that it was something he really wanted to do, and I saw that the technologies, Marishi's technologies, could really help a country that I had visited and I had actually seen firsthand really needed help. So we stayed in Vlodrop actually 5 weeks, and then we went back to Barbados. Curly resigned his job, and we came back to work full-time for the movement. So that's how that started.
Very good. And your assignment, Marishi, sending you to Africa, what was your first impressions when you met the President Chissano and the situation that he was in? You and Curly must have assessed what perhaps you can do to help him.
Well, there are two points there, President Chissano and then the atmosphere in the country. Mozambique was a country that had been at war for 32 years, and there had been a 16-year drought. So there was a lot of trauma there. You know, there was a lot of, it was a poor country because you can't just keep fighting war. You know, with that situation, the country's economy was wrecked, and I just saw a lot of evidence of that trauma in the atmosphere. So, you know, I could feel that tension and stress in the atmosphere. But then meeting with President Chissano was very, very inspiring because we met with President Chissano. Before we left Blowdrop, Marishi had given some points to Curly and had given him the message. We were actually Marishi's ambassadors. That's how I would like to think of it, representing Marishi and giving the points that Marishi wanted him to give to President Chissano. And President Chissano was very, very wise and very receptive about this. He immediately understood these principles that Marishi was presenting to, was sending the message to him. We went there and we said, Marishi had told them to tell him, we can bring peace, we can bring rain to the country. And President Chissano reacted. He's like, well, I just gave a speech about that a few days ago. And I told the people we have to bring peace to the, we have to make peace with the plants. We have to make peace with the animals. We have to make peace with the land. He understood the concept of peace very broadly. And he understood that peace meant reestablishing some sense of balance and order in the interrelationships of all living animate and inanimate objects in the environment. He didn't use those words, but that's what he was saying. And so he was very much attuned with these principles that we were presenting to him. And he also said that he felt that the principles that we were describing were very much in attunement with the traditional beliefs, spiritual beliefs of his people, of the people of Mozambique. And when President Chissano said, when Curley made the point that we could bring peace, he didn't question, he didn't say, oh no, how can this be? He just, okay, yes, this could happen. So it was very inspiring. When we left there, Curley said he was quite an unusual head of state because of his receptivity and his broadness, his broad-minded approach to this situation.
And your experience with introducing transcendental meditation into the country, maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. Did you have to set up centers and get educate teachers, make teachers out of the local people? Did you have to do that?
That's interesting. That's a very good point. You know, Marishi is a master planner. And what happened is we went to the president. This was not a public project. There was no discussion of it in the public. We didn't approach the public. We went to the president, and Marishi had the idea to teach the members of the military. Even though we knew that Mozambique was signing a peace treaty and the military would be reduced, because that was going to be part of the peace treaty agreement. But Marishi's plan was teach the military, implement it in the military. And so that's what we did. Actually, when we arrived in Mozambique, when we arrived in Mozambique, we gave the second time. We went back there in November of 1992. And we arrived and the president said, oh, but you've come at the wrong time, and actually it was the perfect time, because that's another story I'll tell you about. But we arrived, and the president, we gave him the message, and a few days later, we gave him another message from Marishi. We went back to our hotel rooms, and we got a phone call that the general was coming, the top general in the country. And so we assumed that the general was coming for us to give him this message and have to persuade him. And Curley and Roger Luis met with the general. I was in the next room, but they met with him in the hotel where we were staying. And when the meeting was over, they were ecstatic. They said he came with a pen and pad to take notes and to plan how to implement this. So he came to just say, how do we implement the project, to plan for the implementation of the TM program in the military. So it was all done in the military. In the military, there was Marishi sent, you want to know how the teachers were made. Marishi sent, there was a whole cadre of people that Marishi sent there. And there were teachers. Marishi sent the teachers there from Spain. Mozambique is Portuguese speaking. So the teachers had to be able to teach in Portuguese. And so Marishi sent a whole group of teachers there. We had teachers from Brazil, from Portugal, from Spain, and that's how the teaching got done. So no, there was no delay to train teachers. It was just, okay, we'll do it. We went in November, Thanksgiving Day, November 1992, and when Marishi came out of silence, January 8th, 1993, was in the process of being implemented. So it's very fast. Wow.
Carolyn, I remember something to the effect that President Chissano tried TM first for himself. And then to his family. How did that come about?
Well, we went there and we basically were going to tell him about the country and, you know, teaching in the military and teaching in large groups, and we needed large groups of sit-offs. And one day, and we met with him often. We met with him at his home often.
Was this the first time that you went to Mozambique?
No, this was the second time. Thank you for clarifying that. So the second time we went to Mozambique, we had many meetings with him, and we went one day to his house and to talk about, you know, the programs and, you know, what could be done for the country, and he said, "I want to start." He and his wife started first. Roger Luis was there, and Roger Luis taught them, and then he wanted his father, his mother, his all of his children, his nephew, his whole family. Then the whole cabinet started. So he started himself. He had the experience himself, and he really appreciated it. And I remember we were sitting with him and doing. His wife was asking some question. It was so beautiful because he was giving the point. She was asking a question about, you know, how to meditate, some easiness, something, and he was giving the points. He remembered the points and he understood, and he was saying, "Oh, but this." So it was a very, very, very wonderful experience because he had the experience of transcending himself. He wanted that to see what it was. He wanted to practice it, and he had very good results. And then he introduced it to his family, then his cabinet, then to the military.
And so that period of time from his learning through introducing it to his cabinet, how long was that? Was it a few weeks?
A few weeks.
And so then, and all of his cabinet learned? Or
I think all, or if not 90%, all of them learned.
Great. Yeah. And then from there, it was a quick decision to go ahead and implement with the military.
Yes, I think he had already decided, because he told us when we went in July, when we left, his assistant said, "We'll do this. We're going to do this." And so I don't know that he just wanted to do. He wanted to practice TM. I don't know that he was that was necessary. That he thought he had to experience it and then make the decision. I think he just wanted to practice TM.
Wonderful.
And he enjoyed it. He liked it.
Yeah. Do you remember what the percentage was? I know that's a big factor in the come up with standards to what Maharishi wanted.
Yes, the TM technique was taught to 13,000 people in the military, and 3,000 of them became yogic flyers. We see the effect. The day we started teaching TM, the rain poured. Torrential rains poured. And it was amazing to me, because we had gone there and said we would, you know, we could bring rain, we could bring peace, and we know from all the studies, I mean, we've done studies where we see that hostilities decrease and war deaths decrease, so that was, you know, we knew that that would happen eventually. And I also thought that the rain would come in time, but it came the day we started teaching. I guess nature was so happy, it just is a relief. It was like a big relief for nature. The rains came, and we had a driver who spoke Portuguese, and I can just say a few words in Portuguese, not very many, but he said to us through Roger Jose Luis, that he just loved driving us around, you know, the teachers, the group. President Chissano had assigned us a driver, and he said he loved driving us around because he noticed that wherever he took us, the rain came. And what that meant was, and that was happening because TM would be taught, you know, the teachers would go somewhere and they were teaching TM, and he noticed the correlation between taking these people somewhere and the rain coming. So it was a beautiful.
That's 16 years of drought, and then suddenly coming to an end with the first instructions in TM.
Right, yeah.
Well, did the local press in Mozambique pick up on that? There's a correlation here?
Well, the local press didn't know. There was no publicity about it. We did it very quietly. You know, we did not publicize anything. There are quotes. I can give you some quotes, which I'd like to do that, from the New York Times. So in 1993, Bill Keller wrote in the New York Times, on a continent of withered promise, where country after country has defeated recent dreams of creating civil order out of chronic chaos, Mozambique has unexpectedly emerged as a candidate for an African success story. When a ceasefire was signed in October, few expected it would end this country's 16-year war, but it has held for months. A ruthless drought that had aid donors worried has been broken by quenching rains, and the country is carpeted with corn. He quoted one care relief worker as saying, "We've got a combination of peace and rain, which there hasn't been in Mozambique for a quarter of a century." Also in the New York Times article, they quote President Chissano as saying he gave the credit to the Transcendental Meditation Program for bringing about the transformation of these huge changes in his country, and also improving the prosperity there. There's also another quote from an article in the German newspaper in 1999. It says, 10 years ago, Angola and Mozambique both had civil wars. Angola possessed rich resources of oil and diamonds. According to World Bank statistics, Mozambique was not so economically well off. 10 years later, the war in Angola is worse, whereas Mozambique is considered an example of how to peacefully settle a quarrel. Its respective government now settles regional conflicts. The economy has a growth rate of more than 10% and zero inflation, and the currency has risen on the free market in comparison to the U.S. dollar. So those are some examples. The press noted it, and President Chissano gave credit. I mean, he's publicly stated that he gives credit to Mauritius Technologies for bringing about these huge transformations in his country.
In his biography on Wikipedia, that attribution of this achievement in Mozambique, President Chissano mentions Maharshi's knowledge and states it very clearly. That was the reason that all these changes came about. I'd like to give a kind of an additional perspective here, that we had, you said 32 years of civil war, and that was part of that was the fight of the revolutionaries against the Portuguese, and then there was the civil war between the different armies of Frelimo, President Chissano, and Renamo, that was the counter-revolutionary army. The way this peace came about was that President Chissano told the counter-revolutionary army, "We're going to create a multi-party government with elections, and we're going to combine our forces into one military." And so, as far as I understand, when the TM instruction took place, correct me if I'm wrong, both the Frelimo army and the Renamo army were taught TM. Is that correct?
Well, they weren't combined yet. That was the peace agreement. We actually started implementing this program before the UN came in to implement the peace agreement. And this is another nice story you'll like. I was very concerned about what would happen when the UN came, because I was very anxious and I wanted this to work. Let's get this. I hope we can get it implemented. I hope the UN will not interfere with us and stop us from doing this. So we were staying in this hotel, and we knew the UN was coming soon. And one day, Roger Luis came up, and he said, "Guess what? I just saw the general who's in charge of the UN forces for the UN mission in Mozambique. And I know him from Brazil, from when I taught the police TM, his name." And he gave his name, and he said, "I spoke to him, and I told him what we were doing here, and he said, great." So we actually just... I consider that supportive nature, because I was very concerned about the UN coming in and disrupting what we were trying to do with teaching TM. We just taught TM in the Frelimo armies. They had not been combined.
They hadn't been combined yet.
No, and that's what the UN was there to reduce the number of military and then to oversee the combining of them. Uh-huh. And we knew that that some of the people would be out of the military because the military would be reduced. Maharishi knew that. But he said, go ahead and teach. And we see what happened. It was just the right thing to do. It was the perfect thing to do.
So that's very good successes. How about the people of Mozambique? Did they were they able to take the opportunity to learn transcendental meditation too? Did it take hold? Or were TM centers set up?
After that, when we went there, this mission was a mission of teach the military and get the military to create yogic flyers. But later on, there was teaching to the civilian population. Civilians were taught TM, and I wasn't there at this time. But I've heard that they even had a TM center set up in the police station. So if anybody had been creating some little mischief, part of their rehabilitation or their correction. You know, we talk about sending people to correctional facilities, which don't really do anything to correct behavior, but they were learning TM. So TM was taught to the civilians, but it was separate from the military operation that we were there to do.
Carolyn, I've heard that when the instruction of the army took place, that the soldiers enjoyed TM so much in the TM cities that there was actually dancing in the barracks just from the appreciation of TM.
I would not be surprised. I wasn't there. I wasn't in the barracks, actually, but I have heard that they had amazing results. I've heard that they really appreciated the TM program. One, Roger Luis came to us one day and he said one of them told him that this is the most beneficial thing he'd ever learned in his whole life. That this experience of transcending and practicing TM. A few years ago, one of the teachers who was there teaching them the cities talked to me, and he said that he taught them the cities, and he said you would not believe they had the most amazing experiences. He was amazed at the experiences that the people had. You know, they were innocent, and there was great suffering there. This was a serious situation. When we first went there, one of our teachers was driven to teach in the barracks, and they would take him in a tank. That was the transportation, because there was danger there, and so they would drive him to teach in a tank, in an army tank. But so there was, you know, there was suffering there. There was stress. The atmosphere was stressed, and they had amazing experiences. This is what the TM City teacher reported to me.
Well, this gives us an opportunity to speculate what doing program every day in this community is probably doing, although we don't have the contrast of civil war or no rain and that sort of thing, and we're probably sitting in a lukewarm bathtub here and not really appreciating the qualities, the benefits that come with doing a group program and being a sitas here in this community. Do you agree?
Oh, definitely I agree. I mean, the TM City program has been, the research has shown over and over again how powerful it is. And it creates a strong, powerful influence in the country. There's no telling what may have happened in our country in the last few years. What dangers we have averted by doing this program. My just hope is that we get large numbers so that we can start to see even more amazing positive steps taking place. I can tell you, when I didn't live in this community, this was years ago when we first had a Super Radiance group here, and this is a personal experience, but I was in Arkansas, and I was the only Sitha in that town and the only governor living there. But sometimes I would be just quiet, you know, resting in the morning, and all of a sudden I'd feel this really strong change in my physiology, in the cells of my body. Like, what is this? What's happening? So I was like transcending and like program. And I'd look at my clock, and invariably it would be liftoff at MUM. And I had that experience so many times. So the effect is very powerful. And that's when we had 1600, we had lift. I mean, I could feel it. And I wasn't looking for that. It just was, what is this? What's going on? And then I look at the clock, and it's, oh, they just started flying at MUM. So we do create a very powerful positive effect in the environment, and it's been verified by research. And hopefully we'll get numbers up higher so we can create an even more powerful effect. And if the group in India is all related, because at the time we did Mozambique, there was a large group in India at the time, you know, at that time. So, you know, it will create a really powerful effect.
So, Carolyn, I think it would be fun just to think about the influence that President Chissano is now having in the world. That, you know, he was acknowledged, as you've mentioned, as a really unique person. Your husband saw that immediately, and he had worked with many heads of state.
Right.
And what we're seeing now with President Chissano is that he's regular in his practice, you know, and he also is becoming sort of a representative for the entire continent of Africa in a number of ways. You know, he was the president of the African Union for a while, and he's now on the Executive Council for their Peace and Security group, and he's assigned by the United Nations to go in and resolve conflicts like Darfur and Uganda. And, you know, he's on the Executive Committee for the Hunger Project. He was just recently appointed to a council of policymakers for the World Meteorological Society. So climate, hunger, the health care of the people, all of these big issues are now on his plate. And his ability to be very practical and at the same time get people to work together is really showing its merit increasingly with greater and greater recognition. So that combination of unique innate talents that he has, plus their development with his regular practice of TM, he's assuming more and more of that position of leadership globally. And I'm sure that Marishi had something like that in mind as well as he stimulated that transformation within Mozambique.
Perhaps, yes. And, I mean, the Mozambique was successful. Mozambique was the only, as far as I know, has been the only successful UN mission in Africa. Mm-hmm. And it was successful not because, I mean, I'm sure the UN has had all kind of practical plans before, but the success came because of the consciousness based techniques, technologies of peace that were implemented there before the UN implemented their peace strategies. So, yes, this is really great. President Chissano's doing all of these things, and I hope that consciousness-based technologies of peace creation could be implemented in all of these places. It would just make his job a lot easier.
And I understand that he's actually has inaugurated Invincible Defense Technology Institutes. I believe one in South Africa in Johannesburg, and I think there are others that are, you know, in the works. So
good.
There's that recognition of the importance
of the
this
technology. It's absolutely important. All of those countries should do what President Chissano did, which is implement this technology in the military quickly. We did it. It was done in a month or two, and I don't know how long it took to get the cities, but it was done very quickly. Implement the peace technologies, Marishi's technologies, the TM technique and the yogic flying, the advanced program. Implement those technologies and do all of the other things that you have to do on the surface to bring about a peace treaty and bring about a peace accord. And we'd have a beautiful world. We'd have a lot of coherence being generated, and that we would all, everyone would enjoy that, and President Chissano would too.
Yeah, great vision.
Yeah.
Well, Carolyn, we so much enjoy your soft but powerful presence here, faculty, and I'm sure the students enjoy you too. And it's been wonderful talking with you. And do you have any last words you'd like to say to everybody in Fairfield?
meditate twice a day regularly, and group program. Group program is very powerful. So and we're doing it. I mean, people in we in Fairfield are the people in Fairfield have a huge responsibility and have done great things by coming together here and practicing the techniques that we do together. So I congratulate everyone here. Pat them on the back.
So, Alex, I think this was a very successful talk with Carolyn King, Dr. Carolyn King. And do we have someone else lined up in our repertoire here? I know we're... is there something?
Yes, we have more people that have accepted an invitation to speak, Stan, and so we're just working out a schedule, and that'll be forthcoming. But I really look forward to everyone hearing Carolyn's talk.
It was very
really
good.
Inspiring.
It was very inspiring. Well, thank you so much for both of you coming in, and thank you, our listening audience, for listening to What's New on Campus from the campus of Maharshi University of Management. This is Stan Stansbury, Alex Green, and Dr. Carolyn King saying goodbye for now, and we'll see you next time.